At this point, we're going to pray. Father, we thank you, O Lord, and bless your name for this wonderful time of service. We thank you, O Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, O Lord, for your word you're about to receive. We thank you, O Lord, that you are good. We thank you, O Lord, that you are merciful. We thank you, O Lord, that today you are going to speak to our hearts. We pray that every veil, every scale upon our eyes, O Father, be removed, O Father. We pray that, O Lord, even as I share your word, O Father, Father, let it not be me speaking. Let your Holy Spirit empower me and inspire me to speak, O Father, even to situations, even to hearts, O Father. Let your name be glorified mightily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. At this point, I just want to say that I love to have a very interactive sermon. So please, let's make use of our chat box. If you can, I'll just ask you to type in your chat box. Please feel free to type into your chat box and let me know you are following. So we thank God for yet again another wonderful Sunday. And even as you may know, we are going on with our series, Encounters with Jesus. And we thank God for all the preachers who have spoken in the beginning. And today we are moving on with the essence of the woman at the well. We are moving on with the story of the woman at the well. In the light of that, I want to touch on the meaning of encounters. And the first thing I really want to highlight is this, that the Bible is full and provides numerous accounts of various encounters. And in fact, in my sense, I usually call the Bible the book of encounters, in that we have so many records of how people encounter various aspects in their lives. And it's very important that these encounters span from the encounters with God, the encounters with Jesus, the encounters with man, the encounters with human beings, the encounters with demons, the encounters with Satan. And in this light, we see that they all move forward to highlighting God's purpose and plan for these individuals. I'm going to take that again. The Bible in its basic terms is full of accounts, and a huge chunk of these accounts are full of encounters with men, encounters with God, encounters with angels, encounters with Satan, encounters with demons, encounters with other human beings. And all these encounters go a long way to align the individual involved, even onto the purpose and plan of God. And in that realization, it brings to bear the essence of the divine counsel and sovereignty of God. So we see that these encounters reveal the sovereignty of God. They reveal how God orchestrates things to establish his divine purpose and his divine will. And in the light of what we are doing in this season, we are focusing on the encounters with Jesus Christ. Encounters with Jesus Christ. And looking deeply at scripture, at the encounter of Jesus Christ, we see that it is very critical for every member of the church and every follower of God, every follower of Christ, to have had an encounter. Because in literal sense, an encounter is what stirs up the engagement with the Father. Our theme for this year has been running through the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And even as we go deeply in understanding what it means to fear the Lord, we realize that the fear of the Lord is actually not running away from the Lord, but actually running to the Lord, knowing that without his presence, you are doomed. So the reality we want to even touch on here is that as part of understanding the presence of God, you need to come to a place where you desire to encounter Jesus. And we are highlighting this reality through the various stories of encounters with Jesus in scripture. So, what are the importance of these encounters? And the first thing I really want to touch on is this, that for our sake, we need not treat the encounters with Jesus as just an event. We need not treat the encounters with Jesus as just a happening in our lives. An encounter with Jesus goes beyond just an event to an everyday meeting, which involves the transformation of our heart, which involves the renewal of our mind. So even beyond the event, there is a process of encounter. And this process of encounter leads to the engraftment of the word of God in our hearts. So beyond the encounter of a season, beyond the encounter of an event, God calls us to a continuous encounter. And this continuous encounter is what brings transformation. So basically, when we look at the encounter with Jesus, why is it so important? Why is it so important to encounter Jesus? Why is it so important to desire to fellowship with Jesus? Why is it so important that even in our time and age, to make resourceful time and say, and this time I'm going to desire to fellowship with Jesus Christ? The first point I want to make in this stance is that there is eternal life in Christ. There is eternal life in Christ. If you can hear me, just write in, if you can write in your chat box, just write, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because in Christ is eternal life. There is no other name that a man should be saved except the name Jesus Christ. In Christ, we have salvation. In Christ, we have eternal life. In Christ, we are brought into encounter. We are reunited with the Father. And the basic understanding which I really want us to point to is from 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 12. And it says, this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. And whoever does not have the Son does not have life. If you have Jesus, you have life. But if you don't have Jesus, then you don't have life. So the basic understanding of your encounter with Jesus is that he is the holder of eternal life. The second most important relevance of our encounter with Jesus is that he is the persona of truth and grace. He is the persona of truth and grace. Why is it important? We need to understand that truth is what calls us to fellowship with the Father. Indeed, by his Spirit, we are born of the Father. But the truth sets up the foundation and basis of our fellowship with the Father. And the essence of grace, for we are saved not by our works. Nothing you can do in this world can get you saved. No matter how good you are, no matter the donations you make, if you do not have Christ, you are not saved. The reality of the grace abounding in Christ is that it moves from just the essence of salvation to the sustenance of life. It moves from just the essence of salvation to what actually builds us. By his truth are we built. By grace I will build. So Paul wrote in the book of Acts, we read that I commend you to the word of grace, which is able to build you up. In Christ, do we encounter truth and grace? John chapter 1, verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And the last essence, the last importance of our encounter with Jesus, of course, there are many importance. There are many reasons why we ought to desire Jesus Christ and encounter him daily. Because through Jesus Christ, do we encounter freedom? Father, we thank you for freedom through Jesus Christ. In Christ, are we free? By an encounter with Jesus Christ, are shackles broken? The reality of our walk with Christ is that even as we encounter him, he continues to set us free beyond the nature of sin, from the realities of culture, from the realities of sin, addictions that we have that even nobody will know about, things that are even holding our hearts down. seeds that are corrupting our character. Jesus is able to break you free from every cage. Jesus is able to set you free from every addiction. Even as you encounter him, he is just like the sun. The more you look at him, the more things begin to burn out of your life. He is a purifying fire. The more you fellowship, the more he sets you ablaze, burning away anything which is not of him. So as I've said, there are many importance to which we need to look at the encounters with Jesus Christ and even pursue him actively. But with relations to our theme for this season, with reference to encounters, we are looking at the woman at the well. The woman at the well. The woman at the well. So basically, I want you to write in the chat box, when you hear the woman at the well, what comes to mind? What comes to mind? I want you to write in the chat box. Anybody at all, write in the chat box. When you hear about the woman at the well, what comes to mind? What comes to mind? What comes to mind? And this could be something that has been in your mind through Sunday school. This could be something you realized recently. But what comes to mind when we talk about the woman at the well? Thirsty. Thirsty. I thank you, Esther. God bless you. She said thirsty. Someone has also written, the woman with many husbands. Matt has written, redemption. Redemption. Sergey has written, forgiveness and freedom from the past. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that in you we are free from our past. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Stephen has also written, outcast. Victoria, my beloved wife, has written, new life. Sergio, Brother Sergio and Betty have written, Jesus asking for water. The Nachigos have written, evangelism. So we see that in understanding biblical stories, they always come with connotations to our various lives. And I want us, even as we treat this encounter, not to take it out of our life. As much as possible, let us relate to this woman at the well. In every facet of the story, let us as much as possible build an understanding how we can be the woman at the well in various points in our lives. So I basically wrote, the woman at the well, an encounter that reveals that Jesus Christ is the only true satisfaction we can ever have. And our key scripture for today is going to be taken from John chapter 4, verse 13 to 14. And I read, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus, that you care. Thank you, Jesus, that you provide for us and you know what satisfies us. One thing I really want us to understand is this. Nothing can satisfy you outside Jesus Christ. Nothing can satisfy you. Not money. Not relationships. Nothing can satisfy you. Without Jesus, you become empty. Approval from people will break you. Nothing can correct your character like Jesus. Nothing can birth the sense of peace like Jesus. So even as we go deeper, I want you to resonate with this woman at the well and see which aspect of your life that needs correction. Which aspect of your life need you to come to an understanding that you need Jesus. You might have believed Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, but do you have aspects of your life that have not yet been opened to Christ? How do you handle issues with pride? How do you handle issues with forgiveness? God is good. So as we continue, I want to set the best background by highlighting some key things. The first thing I really want to touch on is geographic barriers. Geographic barriers. When we look at geographic barriers, we see that in actual sense, Jesus could have done by going to Galilee without passing through Samaria. Because in line with their journey to Galilee, from Judea to Galilee, the Jews often use the water line. They don't go through Samaria. So for him to have actually decided not to use the water line, the river base, which was an easy route, and go through Samaria, speaks volumes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the first thing I really want you to note is that there was a geographic barrier, but still Jesus overlooked that. The second aspect I really want to highlight with reference to a good background for the story is the ethnic barrier. The Jews and Samaritans, I can easily say, were at loggerheads. We can see how even in Ezra chapter 4, we see how there are instances where even the Samaritans offer to even help to build the temple. And the Jews say, no, we are not going to do that. We see how the essence of basic living was seen that the Jews were higher than the Samaritans. So there was a sense of ethnicity war that was going on between the Jews and the Samaritans. But yet, Jesus overlooked that. The third aspect of a good foundational reference is the place of religious barrier. The Samaritans were polytheist. When I say polytheist, it means they had multiple gods aside from Yahweh. And we know that the Jews had only one God, the I am that I am. So this automatically birthed a friction between them. And the fourth sense that I really want us to hit on with reference to the background stories is the place of gender barriers. In that culture, as at that time, it's not easy for you to find a man approaching another woman alone who is not his wife. And we see how even society, as at that time, related to women more of as a property. The value of womanhood was degraded. But even as Jesus Christ came, he brought a change to that. So there was a gender disparity. And this even leads us to the fifth barrier, that is the societal barrier. The society had placed a certain brand on this woman as an outcast. The society looked down on this woman as someone who was not worthy to even be spoken to, someone whose life could not be saved. But yet, Jesus overlooked that and decided to even go to her. There are many barriers that may stand between you and Christ in your mind. But trust me, Jesus is more than able to reach out to you. If you can hear me, just write in the chat box, Jesus is able. If there is someone sitting beside you, tell the person, Jesus is able. Jesus is able to reach to you beyond every barrier. Jesus is able to heal beyond every situation. Jesus is able to touch you beyond every construct of your mind. And one key statement I really want us to grasp, even from the background, is this. The encounter of Jesus with the woman at the well was far from chance. It was far from chance. It was a divinely orchestrated meeting that would change an outcast into a beacon of hope for her community. Amen. So we even continue, even as we read. And we are going to take it text by text and try as much as possible to expound the text and look deeply as how we can relate to that. So basically, I would really encourage you, take notes, write, but most importantly, write up a decision, write up something you are going to work at by the end of the sermon. Great. So the first aspect we are going to take with reference to the reading is from verse 1 to verse 6. That is John chapter 4. And I read. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. And the first thing I really want us to touch on is that beyond the challenge of a detour, Jesus understood the need to pass through Samaria. We read from verse 4, and he had to pass through Samaria. He could have decided not to. He could have decided to go by the normal route, by the river basin, which was much easier. But he had to. And remember what Jesus spoke of himself. I do nothing of myself, but I do as my Father has commanded me to. What has the Lord spoken to you over the years, over this season, that you have to do, that you are struggling to do? What is the Lord prompting you day in and day out for you to look at in your life? But yet, you are deciding to sit in your comfort zone. Obedience is critical. Obedience is critical. The second point I really want us to highlight from here is that for the Samaritan woman to visit the well at about 12 noon in the heat of the day, it means she intentionally wanted to avoid being condemned and looked down by people. The normal way of culture to visiting the well was to either visit early in the morning or late, early in the evening. Early in the morning or early in the evening, where the sun is not so hot. So for her to have decided to step out in the heat of the day, it speaks volumes of what she might have been going through. Sometimes we as people, we push people to a place where they don't even want to meet others again. Sometimes by our own actions, we deal with people so badly that they don't even want to encounter anybody again. I have met many women who have been treated so badly by men that they have no desire to even be given off in marriage. The reality of life is that there is a ripple effect of our actions to people. So here we see how the Samaritan woman decided to go at 12 noon when literally nobody was there. But this is how divine orchestration will have it, that was the same time that Jesus Christ would be there. That Jesus Christ would meet this woman at her point where she was trying to avoid shame. Jesus is ready to meet you. Jesus is ready to meet you. We continue to read. So we are reading from verse 7 to verse 15. And I read, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. And the first thing I really want us to highlight is this. Jesus knew the woman was empty, heavy laden, and needed eternal life. So even Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 says, are you heavy laden? Are you weary? Come unto me and I will give you rest. Jesus calls unto all of us who are heavy laden in various aspects of life. Are you heavy laden by your thoughts about tomorrow? Are you heavy laden by your work? Are you heavy laden by your marriage? Are you heavy laden by your academics? Are you heavy laden by every aspect of your life? Jesus calls you, come and I will give you rest. And the reality is that the woman even tried to even turn away and channel away the discussion, pointing to physical things rather than the spiritual. Just like Nicodemus. Just like Nicodemus, her mind was fixated on the physical rather than the spiritual. And many of us are in that place of life where our construct of life is fixated on the essence of the physical and not really focusing on that which is spiritual. The Bible literally says, for that which is physical is temporal, that which is seen is temporal, and that which is seen was made from that which is unseen. At the height of our frustrations underlies a simple truth and a simple issue. Jesus saw that issue in the woman at the well. And Jesus knew that she needed eternal life. Jesus knew that the woman at the well needed that heavy burden to be taken off. Jesus knew that the woman at the well needed her essence of satisfaction to be dealt with, her mental construct of satisfaction and approval to be dealt with. And so Jesus presented her the remedy, eternal life, eternal life. And we see from Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13, Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13, we see that In the midst of our straying away from God, we have built systems to provide ourselves with satisfaction, but they cannot hold water. What have you established in your own life that you desire and you think will give you satisfaction, but yet cannot hold water? It cannot give you satisfaction. The reality is, no matter what you do, our only satisfaction is Jesus. And in reality of that, Jesus presented to her the remedy, eternal life. John chapter 10 verse 10 says, for the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life, and life more abundantly. Jesus is eternal life. Jesus is the key to eternal life. Without him, there is no life. And in this reality, we go to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13, and we see how God is the fountain of life. How thirsty are you? Go to the fountain of life. Nothing in this world will satisfy. Nothing in this world can give you peace of mind except Jesus Christ. So we continue to read. And we are reading from verse, if I'm right, from verse 16. From verse 16 to verse 26. From verse 16 to verse 26. Is it showing? Great. So from verse 16 to verse 26. And I read, Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband. And verse 18, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and it's now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Once again, if you can write in the chat box, write, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you can write in the chat box, write, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God for sending us Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation of our sin. He is the only one who can take away our sin. Indeed, he is the Messiah. And from this aspect of the story, we read and we come to basic two points that I really want to highlight. That she began to believe when Jesus told her about her life and revealed himself. Jesus is a prophet. And in the light of the office of the prophet, we see the place where in the fullness of the Spirit, there is a manifestation of the gift of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the gift of prophecy, and the spirit of discernment. So in the light of Jesus Christ being able to discern and gain knowledge about this woman's life was a manifestation of that gifting. And we see how that opened a door for Jesus Christ to be able to minister to her. I remember going on the mission field, going to preach. And even as I entered a store, it was a store. And as I entered the store, I told him, good morning, sir. I have come to present the gospel to you. And the man said, please, no, I'm a Muslim. Go away. Go away. And literally, as I was leaving, I just felt an impression on my heart to tell him that his prayer for the debt that is owed him to be given to him to be paid will be paid. And as I said that, his eyes lit up and he turned to me and said, sit down. And he gave me a bottle of juice and I shared the gospel with him. One critical thing we need to understand is that the gifts of the Spirit lead us in the ministry of Christ. Even it opens a door for people to accept Jesus Christ. And we even see here that she began to believe when Jesus told her about her life and revealed himself to her as the Messiah. In Luke chapter 7, verse 39, we see how the aspect of the prophetic is sometimes construed to see and to know and to discern the people you are relating with. And in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18, we see a marvelous prophecy of how God would send a prophet out of his own brothers and will fill his mouth with the word of God, that he will speak the word of God unto his own brothers. And this is the beauty of how Jesus Christ began to open up this woman and satisfy this woman. And in the light of even this satisfaction, she continued to raise up issues. Issues that seemed to even be a detour from the main issue, but was very critical. So Jesus addressed them. And Jesus said, we need to come to the understanding that a time is coming when we would not need to go to Jerusalem to worship. And we know that the Samaritans, they worshipped on Mount Gerizim. So they weren't going to Jerusalem. And Jesus pointed out that a time is coming when worship will not be restricted to a particular place. In your room, you can worship. In your office, you can worship. In the bus, you can worship the Lord. Our understanding of worship should not be only to Sunday service. Our Father is everywhere. And by virtue of His Spirit, we have access to Him 24/7. You can worship whilst lying on your bed. And this is the truth we need to come onto, where we seek to encounter Jesus consistently through our everyday worship. That is the worship in spirit. Because by the very sacrifice of Jesus, we have received the Spirit that leads us to cry out, Abba, Father. And our Father is opened unto us, giving us total access, especially when we are broken, especially when we are going through life's harsh issues. He calls us, come unto me. Through the sacrifice of Christ, he calls us, come unto me. And with reference to worship in truth and in spirit, we see the reality how all nations will come and worship him. And this speaks of how the worship of God will not be centralized to just the Jews, but we Gentiles will be brought in to worship the Lord. And the woman began to believe. The woman at the well began to believe. So I go on to read, and we read from verse 27 to verse 30. Just then, his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with him? So the woman left the water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to Jesus Christ. It is beautiful to see how she immediately thought about others when she realized she had encountered the Messiah. Others. If you can hear me, write in the chat box, others. Others. If you are sitting beside someone, tap someone on the shoulder, tell the person, others. 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 We need to think about others. We need to think about others. We shouldn't be drowned in our selfish interest. We shouldn't be so locked up in the thought about ourselves, only us, only you, only you, only you, only you. Life is not about only you. Life is not about only you. If you can hear me, hit your chest and say, life is not about only me. And that is the beginning of your cure for pride. When you begin to think about others, when you begin to understand that the love of God that is being flown into you is literally for you to flow the love into others. She began to think about others. She began to think, as she began to believe, she knew that this was so good to be true that she had to tell others. And even more beautiful was how the people believed her when she told them and came out of the town to meet Christ. Mind you, this was an outcast. This was someone they didn't even want to see. This was someone they were looking down upon. But yet, when she told them about the Messiah, they believed this can only be the Holy Spirit. This can only be the working of the Holy Spirit. And this is one reality I want you to know. No matter who the Lord is leading you to talk to about the gospel, do not be afraid, because it's not about you. It's about the power in the word, which is spirit. For the word I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So the reality we need to come to understanding is this, that the Holy Spirit empowered the woman to be a vessel unto Anna. A woman who was once known and associated with dishonor had become a vessel unto Anna. We continue. And one aspect I really want us to know is from verse 28. So the woman left her water jar. She left her water jar. And remember what I spoke about with reference to the book of Jeremiah, that in our departure from God, we have built up cisterns that cannot hold water. Leave your water jar. Leave your water jar and drink of Jesus. What water jar are you holding onto? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Is it approval from your friends? Maybe you have a clique, a group of friends. You have a group of friends that you are doing everything. You are doing everything for you to be right in their eyes. Leave your water jar. Leave your water jar. Is it fear? You are so afraid. Every time you are afraid of what might happen tomorrow, leave your water jar. Leave your water jar and pursue Christ. We continue. And I read from verse 31 to verse 38. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Jesus, by this, is emphasizing the reason for his coming, and that is to save the lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for I have come to seek and to save the lost. I have come to seek and to save the lost. I have come to seek and to save the lost. May the Lord cause us to come to an understanding that at the height of our relationship with him is desiring to save others, presenting the gospel to others. He further reminded the disciples that the harvest is ready. If you can hear me, write in the chat box, the harvest is ready. 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 This is the time. There is no better time than this to preach Christ. There is no better time than this to share Christ. The harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. Share Christ with your family. Share Christ with your friends. And it begins by prayer. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Thank you, Jesus. And even as we continue, I read from verse 39 to 42. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I've ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Your testimony holds power to draw many to Christ. What you have gone through should not be the reason why you are not going closer to Christ. What you have gone through in the past should not be the reason why you are not with Christ, but should actually lead you to Christ and lead up to Christ. I'm going to say it again. What you have been through, the pains of the past, the tragedies of the past, is actually a tool for spreading the gospel. Luke chapter 8, verse 39, we see how Jesus healed a man oppressed by a demon, and the man wanted to follow him. And he said, "No, go and proclaim me to your town. Go and proclaim me to your community. What testimony do you have? Use your testimony to proclaim Jesus." Wherever you are, just wave your hand and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for the testimony. Thank you, Jesus, for the testimony. Thank you, Jesus, for the testimony. Thank you, Jesus." Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. It says, "And we overcame him." We overcame the devil. We overcame the situation. We overcame the problem by the power of the blood and by the word of the testimony. By the words of our testimony. Your testimony has power. And much critical, I want to point out to the fact that discipleship and teaching of the word is very important. Like I said, by virtue of our basic theme for the year, the fear of the Lord, and how we are driving ourselves to be in constant fellowship with the Father, we see that an encounter with Jesus should not just be treated as a one-time event, but we must pursue and seek a consistent encounter with Jesus through the word, through the word. Through the word, every day fellowship through the word, every day read the word. You must not feel normal. You mustn't feel comfortable if you go 3 days without reading. You mustn't feel comfortable if you go 1 week without it. It should be an abnormality to you if you are not reading God's word. You must feel convicted if you are not fellowshipping with God through God's word. And I'm not speaking about Sunday service. I'm not speaking about just Bible study with reference to small groups. I'm not speaking about corporate prayer. I'm speaking on a personal level. How often do you read your word? How often do you read your Bible? How often do you fellowship with the Lord on your own? At this point, I'm going to encourage all of us. If you don't have a habit of personal reading of the word, read your word. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Make time for the Bible. For it is through the word that we are going to be shaped and we move on to maturity. It is through the word that we are going to be discipled the right way. God is good. So key pointers. I want to highlight some key pointers. The first point, it was ordained for Jesus to meet the woman at the well. It was ordained for Jesus to meet the woman at the well. It was ordained. It was predetermined. there was a higher power at work. Jesus did not condemn her. I won't say that again. Jesus did not condemn her. We can read through. Jesus did not condemn her, but provided remedy. Jesus understood and knew her situation. Jesus understood and knew her situation. Jesus could relate. Jesus knew. Jesus was willing to quench her thirst and satisfy him with the fountain of life that never runs dry. At the apex of her encounter, she overflows with life and joy and proclaims Christ to the whole community. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and bless your name, oh God. For only you work at these things in our lives. Nobody can love us like you do. When people condemn us, when life begins to beat us, we are sure that we can run to you because you love us. Regardless of what we have done, we know you love us. Amen. Now, introspective questions. What is the reality of your life? At this point, I really want you to think. Can you identify with the woman at the well? Are you being beaten by life situations? Is life weighing down on you? Can you relate with the woman at the well? Maybe you are not the one being beaten by life situation, but you are the one making life miserable for others by gossiping, by hating people, by stirring up strife, by being rebellious. How are you making life miserable for people? Is that the way of love? What is the reality of your life? The second question, have you spoken to Christ about it? Have you spoken to Christ about it? In Christ, there is nothing like unlovable. In Christ, there is nothing like I cannot forgive him. In Christ, there is nothing like I have hatred in my heart forever. Have you spoken to Christ about it? The third question. Are you willing to let go and receive Christ? Many of us are holding on to that jar. Many of us are holding on to that jar. Are we willing to let go? Are we willing to receive Christ? Are we willing to let go of that character trait? Are we willing to let go of that pride? Are we willing to let go of that addiction? Are we willing to let go and receive Christ? How is your walk with the Lord? How is your walk? Do you have a personal walk with the Lord? And at this point, I want to call on to anybody who has not had a thorough encounter with Jesus or to your salvation. And I want to pray with you. If you know that you really don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, you don't really know him, I want to pray with you. Stop whatever you are doing and just place your right hand on your heart, and I'll pray with you. Maybe you are here and you know that life is not going well. Maybe life is hitting you so hard. I want to spend time praying with you. Maybe you are here, you know that you are just like the members of the society, giving people a tough time, condescending, looking down on people, gossiping about her. Place your right hand on your heart and let me pray with you. Father, I thank you for this very person listening to you right now. I pray your grace over him or her. And I pray that, Lord, you touch him or her and cause your blessings to abound over him or her. I pray that, oh Lord, this very day, they will have an encounter with you. For them who are seeking to know you more, Father, open their eyes. May their eyes be enlightened that they will see you and follow you. I pray also that, Lord, you will lead them and guide them. I pray that anyone who has not accepted you as their Lord and personal Savior, Father, oh God, may you open their eyes. And even as now they hear me, I pray that, Lord, you will be their Lord and personal Savior. May they acknowledge their sins and may they open their heart unto you, being discipled unto maturity. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.